Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. So, you know, happy September, everyone. And it is Mental Health Awareness Month in September. And we're going to be chatting about, you know, healing the healers, because that's what we are, and mental health in the veterinary profession. And we have our wonderful friend, Dr. Annika Van Noy, that's going to be joining us to chat with us further. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Adam. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for joining us and talking about a topic that we were just saying offline. This can be uncomfortable, but a necessary and an important one, right?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Like I said, it's a heavy topic, but we have to keep raising awareness, because I think that's how we can really combat the crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of information about Dr. Van Noy. She's an accomplished leader in the veterinary field, currently serving as the Senior Director of Talent and Learning at Thrive Pet Healthcare, with a solid academic background culminating in a PhD from the University of Texas at Austin. Dr. Van Noy has dedicated her career to advancing the veterinary industry by enhancing practice management and optimizing team development. Her work focuses on creating and implementing talent strategies that empower veterinary professionals, ensuring that they have the resources and support needed to excel in their roles. In addition to talent strategy, Dr. Van Noy oversees Thrive's well-being strategy, and her expertise and innovative approach to talent management have been instrumental in driving the growth and success of Thrive Pet Healthcare, making her a key figure in the company's mission to revolutionizing veterinary care. And we love having her on the show, as she always shares great expertise with us. So, you know, we've talked about mental health. You were on the show before. We chatted about this several times and how the stressors of our field may impact our well-being. But it is the month, with September being National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. What trends do you see in the veterinary care profession now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we all know that the suicide rates are alarmingly high, right? I think that's something we all agree on. And it's kind of shocking to see that if you just compare it to the general population, you know, men in the veterinary space are twice as likely to die by suicide, and women are four times as likely. And if you think about, you know, how many women we see, you know, in our veterinary positions, that's alarming, right? I mean, that's something that we have to take seriously. But I also want to stress that while a lot of the research has been done looking at veterinarians specifically, I think the crisis spans a bit further, because it's also encompassing our support staff. So, you know, they're also struggling, and they're challenged, you know, coming at them. So if we look at suicidality in the veterinary space, I think we have to take a holistic look and incorporate all roles, not just the veterinarians.
Yeah, absolutely. A whole team approach to that.
Yes.
Because it affects all of us. And tell me a little bit about the role of workplace culture in mitigating or even exacerbating the mental health of its veterinary staff. Like, what can be done and what really works?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question, Adam. I think it's a two-tiered approach for me. I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge the kind of unique situations and unique environment we're navigating. If you think about it, you know, from a perspective of a veterinary caregiver or veterinarian, if we have a case and we have an animal and there is perceived no hope, right, or no cure, what we do is we recommend euthanasia, and that's the humane form of, you know, ending that animal's life to prevent any more suffering. So when we think about suicide, you know, the main driver for suicide is this feeling of despair or hopelessness. So we're kind of in a unique position, because we advocate for euthanasia in our patients if there is no hope. And if you find someone with that same feeling for their own selves, right, and it's a dangerous kind of bridge to gap, because we also have access to lethal means. So that's what makes it really difficult and puts us in a very unique position that we have to address. So that's the acknowledgement piece. And I think once we acknowledge that, we have to raise awareness. And for me, really, what I think is key to success is starting that at the very beginning, for someone who joins the profession, having the conversation, you know, being really outspoken about there is a crisis, this is what it's at, and this is what can be done. And not just onboarding in terms of the team, and we have new team members, but also encouraging people to share that message with their friends, like, you know, sharing the message outward. And I'm not saying client education in terms of sending out a newsletter, but everybody has friends that are not working in the veterinary space, and just allowing them to see what it's truly like. There's a fantastic TED Talk by Dr. Melanie Bowden that I sent to everybody. All of my friends
have
seen
this. I love that
this.
One.
Isn't
yes.
that fantastic?
Yes.
I mean, it's eye-opening, right?
Yes.
Truly eye-opening. And I think if we can continue to share that message, we can lift our teams up internally and also externally to really like build that culture of, I call it feel something, say something.
Yeah.
If you feel that something is going on with someone, you know, they're acting a little bit differently, or they're just not your usual happy self, that you feel empowered to have a conversation. And I think that's what the leadership team at hospitals can do, is really have tools available for their team members and encourage and empower them to say, if you notice something, have a conversation with that person. It can be as simple as, how are you doing? You know, I'm noticing you're a bit different. Is there something that's happening, or do you need anything? I think that alone, you know, is bridging a gap where people feel seen and heard, and that can change your life.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. Some people feel like, oh, I don't want to overstep. You know, like, it's not my place to like check in on her or him or, you know, whomever. And what are your thoughts on that? Because there was an instance that reminded me too, years ago, there was a technician, and she started to be a little bit more reclusive. She was eating lunch in her car, which was not typical of her. She was usually, you know, with the crew for lunchtime or whatnot. There were subtle things that no one really said anything until she actually checked herself in for, you know, for healthcare an issue. And I was like, I wish we said something to say, hey, we're here for you. So what do you have to say to that component? Because that could be tricky, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to your point, it takes a lot of courage, right, to have that conversation. I say something that's pretty radical, but what I usually tell people when they ask about that question, I say, would you rather have an angry coworker or a dead coworker?
Yeah.
Because, you know, even if you are overstepping and that person isn't necessarily suicidal and they are angry in the moment, I wholeheartedly believe that eventually, you know, they'll see that there was some good and
Yeah.
like a positive driver in that, having that conversation. But if you choose not to have the conversation, and God forbid, you know, something happens where there doesn't have a good outcome as in your situation, then you can't go back. You know, you can't, there's no do-over.
Yes, you're right. And I'll never forget, because everyone, including myself, we all felt terrible because we could have done something. Exactly right. Words matter. You know,
yeah, they do.
Words matter. We could have checked in. And I know that you're a huge proponent of the QPR certification. So what signs should colleagues and employers look for to identify when a veterinarian or even a clinical support staff member might be struggling, and how people around can help?
That's a great question. Yes, I love the certification, and I wish in my dreamiverse, everybody in the veterinary space would be QPR certified. I think in terms of signs, just what you just mentioned, you know, we have a couple of different categories. We have the direct verbal cues where we, you know, someone will say something like, oh, I just want my life to be over, I just want to end this, or I wish I wasn't here. And then we have some more indirect verbal cues around maybe, I just can't go on anymore, or I wish I wasn't waking up tomorrow. And then, you know, the next category, this is where your case falls into, is the behavior cues that, you know, something just changes. Maybe it's a change of mood, and that can be being reclusive, as you described, but it could also be the opposite, that someone is suddenly very frustrated or has anger outbursts, because the way really what's happening is that the emotions that are happening or the feelings that are happening within that person, they try to come out, right? And that's either shutting down or coming out maybe through anger. So really listening to your gut, right? I think that's what it comes down to. If you think something is not normal for that person, that's probably a good indicator that there could be something going on. And then there are some, you know, more like substance abuse, for example, another good one. You know, if you notice there's any sign of substance abuse, that's a red flag for sure too. And then let's see what else, maybe putting affairs in order. I think that's one that usually happens too when people do prepare for their final stages in terms of preparing for suicide, is maybe making sure their pets are taken care of, or giving away prized possessions, just making sure everything is in a good place. And then the last one, I think, is situational cues, just being aware of what's happening in someone's life. Trauma, such as, you know, losing a loved one, or, you know, having some really stark changes in what's happening in someone's family life, that can also push someone over the edge. So just having a holistic view and just picking up on it, right? So let's see something, say something. If you are here, feel something, say something. Don't doubt your gut feeling.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So important. And what are some specific programs or initiatives that might benefit veterinary staff in supporting their mental health?
That's a tricky question. I think it really depends on what stage people are in and the severity of the symptoms. I think, you know, for someone who's doing relatively well, there's a lot of great opportunities to dive more into their own well-being, finding out, you know, what fills their cup, whether that is, you know, exercising or eating healthy or time with friends, and doing more of that, right? Just truly finding out what energizes me to counterbalance the stresses of the day and the job. If there's more severity in the symptoms, then I would say never hesitate to reach out to a mental health professional, right? Like it's never too early. If you feel like there is something that could make your life a little bit easier, it could be as simple as having a conversation. And leveraging all of the employee benefits, you know, if they're available to you, whether that is, you know, like Lyra or Headspace or Mind, Calm, like all of the apps that a lot of employers are providing to team members. I think we just need to raise awareness and then have people feel really good about using them too.
Right. And I really do appreciate, because I've been in this field a long time, and now that I see that mental health, the stigma has really gone away, which I'm loving. I'm sure I'd love to get your perspective on that too. But when someone says, oh, I'm chatting with someone, I love that we're like empowering them and saying, good for you, you know, or we'll share stories too that maybe I'm going for counseling or I'm talking to somebody. And I think having that transparency in the workplace is so crucial for just organizational good work culture. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think, you know, we've done such amazing work on destigmatizing. I think now we can, like you said, truly focus on the conversation and what's after, right? Like, how do you continue that journey? Because it is truly a journey, right? And I think well-being is, if you look at it holistically, there's emotional well-being in which mental health falls, but there's also physical well-being and spiritual well-being. I think we have to maybe, as leaders, to allow people to see that you have to be fairly well in all of those areas to bring your best self to work and to life, and to give people the tools to find out what that is, you know, what's missing and how we can really pour into their cup too, so that they can shine and enjoy what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. And what can individual veterinarians and, you know, veterinary professionals out there manage stress and try to help, you know, prevent burnout?
Great question. I think going back to this idea of culture, right? I think if we empower our teams to have conversations, and it's kind of this like opening your eyes and opening your arms, you know, welcoming people in and letting people know they're not alone, has this, I think this potential of having this, like, we're in this together approach, right? Like it's all of us. And if all of us, you know, bring their best selves to work, this team truly shines. I think one thing or two, maybe specific things that I love is boundary work. I think a lot of us can do probably better jobs of setting boundaries and just identifying what that is, right? Because I think we're healers, like you said at the beginning, healing the healers. We want to help everybody else. And sometimes we just ignore that we have to take care of ourselves first too, because otherwise we can't continue healing others. So boundary work is a big one. And then one thing that I think is incredibly impactful and powerful is loving kindness meditation. I don't know if you've checked that out. It's a Buddhist principle, but it's really simple, a really simple meditation technique that I think can be life changing. And it's not difficult at all. So it's minutes a day, right? It can truly make a difference for people who appreciate meditation.
No, that's great. That's really very helpful. And yeah, I agree. I feel like no is a complete sentence and something that I have to say a lot of out loud to
I
recognize that, yeah,
know. Yeah.
you can't be everywhere at the same time. And you know, I'll also say, you know, I can't be the best Adam Christman that you want me to be if I'm doing all these expectations or doing all these things. And it's only fair for everybody, I feel like. So and I hope that helps with listeners too. Like, I know we get pulled as veterinary professionals everywhere. Maybe it's a speaking gig and you're gonna do relief work and you're gonna also be working full time. But if you want to be the best person, you got to set limitations to yourself. You have to. It's so important. Yeah. I love
Yeah.
that. There was a practice that I forget where it was, but they have a really cool motto. They were saying that, you know, we're so big in minimizing fear, anxiety, and stress in our patients. We also are taking care of minimizing fear, anxiety, and stress in each other. And I just think that was so special because they're really big in the holistic approach of, you know, taking care of the emotional well-being of their patients, but as well as their employees. I just think I've never seen that like 10 years ago, but now seeing that now, I just think that speaks such volumes, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And I think you know, just uplifting team members too. I think I've seen a shift in recent times where people are moving away from feeling guilty to taking time off to like celebrating that, right?
Yes.
As in like we all need this, and it's acknowledged by the whole team that we're truly in this together, and we have to find those small ways to combat the stressors that we're facing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I used to feel so guilty going on vacation. You're right when you say that. I was like, oh my gosh, I would be checking emails, but I got to give a shout out to Eric Garcia, you know, teaching me how to unplug and turn those things off. And setting boundaries, you know, in the virtual space too is equally important as well. So absolutely fantastic. Well, Dr. Annika Van Noy, where can we learn more about you or our friends at Thrive? Where can we head?
You can learn more about Thrive Pet Healthcare if you head over to our homepage, of course. I think you get all the great information there. And then I'm a big advocate for all things suicide awareness in the veterinary space. So you can also find me on LinkedIn if you'd like to have continued conversations about that topic.
Yeah, I just want to give you a special shout out to the listeners. You're never alone. And sometimes I've gotten messages because I'm in social media a lot and I'll get DMs. And I just want to give you a really big shout out, my friends, because she is someone that will literally be there for you. So you send her a message. I'm not a counselor, but I certainly can direct you towards her. The profession is small. We like to take care of each other, but Dr. Van Noy is a wonderful resource to have. And if not her, maybe she could refer someone to your area to help you with, but confidential and all of that. I just want to give you a shout out. So thank you for all the great work that you do.
Thank you, Adam. That means the world to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, I do get messages quite a bit about stuff, and I always like to consider myself the Oprah for networking. I can connect somebody to somebody, and you are one of those connections that I can certainly do. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Have a wonderful September, and don't forget to rate this podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.